You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And it is Judd's Hockey Show coming to you because AJ and I needed to take a deep breath after what was an incredible hockey game today at the X. The Wild with a, yes, 10-7 win over the Vancouver Canucks, the best team in the National Hockey League. After two periods of play, the Wild was down 5-3. They come back with a 7 spot in the third period. Kids, take a look at the score sheet because this is something you don't see in 2024. This looks like I lifted it straight from the 1984 NHL season when a 17-goal game happened now and then. But age, just to provide some context here, and there's a lot of, I mean, this was, as far as a fan goes, this was a lot of fun to watch. Let's see here. Let's see the records we got. The Wild's 6 scores in a span of 5 minutes 45 seconds was the fastest such flurry in the NHL in 25 years, since Washington had 6 goals in 4:47 in a 10-1 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning February 3rd of 1991. Obviously, the 10 goals, or I shouldn't say obviously, but the 10 goals set a franchise record. The 7 goals in the third period are a franchise record. And but before we get to the specifics of what was a crazy game in which there are actually some concerns, you were in the suite watching the game. I was in the press box. As far as craziness that you've seen, where does this one rank?
That's funny you say that, because I was actually talking about this with the buddies that I was at the game with here. And I remember it was a 5-goal comeback against the Hawks back in the day. I was like playing youth hockey. And I remember like after a tournament loss, because, you know, frankly, any team that had me on it wasn't all too great. We went out for like a post game meal with the team. We're eating our chicken tenders, and they all of a sudden, bang, 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 5-goal comeback. Just insane. I want to say it was 2021, the season opener, the home opener against the Jets, where Kyle Connor was offsides for an empty netter.
Yep,
eventually it led to an overtime win for the Wild. That was crazy. I think this falls right underneath that. I'm sitting there in between the second and third period. I'm thinking like, all right, this is exactly how this game is going to go. The Canucks were just better. I mean, it took all of what, less than a minute, less than 2 minutes for them to find the back of the net to start the day. Gus didn't look all that great, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But, you know, I didn't have too much faith in the power play to come out 5-on-3 and maybe kickstart anything. And boy, was I dead wrong. That was an insane 5 minutes of hockey to start the third. It kind of shows just how frustrating the season has been, because they can play like that. Granted, you're playing on the man advantage, but where has that intensity, where has that been for a handful of games here where you've been back against the wall, you need the points? That was an insane game of hockey. One of the people that I was at the game with was like, did we just watch a football game? Like, football season was over. Yep. 7-10. 10-7, seven goals in the third. That's an insane number. I mean, that was a lot of fun. Defense optional, but boy, was that fun for fans.
I think that's the wildest regular season game in this franchise's history I've seen. Cause I was at the Jets game that you're talking about, and that was a nice comeback, but this game was from both sides. It was just craziness. It was utter craziness. And the goaltending was absolutely pathetically awful. Casey DeSmith in what the third period was, and I mean, he didn't get a lot of help, but he was terrible. But I mean, this game was 5-2 when JT Miller completed his hat trick, which was one of, by the way, three hat tricks in this game. Eriksson, Ek, and Kaprizov obviously also had them for the Wild, and each of those guys had 6 points. But when JT Miller completed his hat trick at 14:30 of the second period, it was 5-2. The Wild ends up 4 of 6 on the power play. I believe they had something like 4 5-on-3s, and I think they scored on 3 of them. On 5-on-3s, you don't see, you know, how often do you see 5-on-3s, period, much less almost a handful of times in one game. So I think this is the craziest game I've seen overall, as far as it just left your head absolutely spinning. But again, you know, these are the type of games in today's league, you certainly see more goals than you did in the neutral zone trap days. And you certainly see more goals than you did from the guy who perfected that, Jacques Lemaire, when he coached this team. But 17 goals in one game, 10 goals by the home team, is absolutely just craziness. From that aspect, I thought it was a ton of fun. And that Wild first line, and I know that you know, again, it was 4 power play goals. So, but that Wild first line, Boldy, 1 goal and 3 assists. So he had 4 points. Eriksson Ek, 3 goals and 3 assists. So he had 6 points. And the same for Kaprizov. So if you just want to combine their point total for the day, they combined for 16 points. 16 points. And now, as Ben points out here, only 2 points out of a wild card spot. I want to play the Canucks in the first round. Ben, I got bad news for you. Thatcher Demko starts today. They don't score 10 goals. No. Thatcher Demko starts, you're not going to score 10 goals. So the playoffs would be a very different thing. But let's talk about the game itself too, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tried to ask John Hines this. I don't think he liked my question, but that's okay. After the game, because I said, yeah, it's fun and you won, but like, what's the breakdown here? I mean, there were a lot of very, like, if you're going to make a playoff run, a lot of concerning things today. Your defense, but more importantly, your number one goaltender. I tried to say Gus had a terrible day, and I think Hines started to say, well, this goal did that, and this goal, I'm sorry, he had an awful day. And I was shocked that he was in through the second period. And I had, it was pointed out, I X'd this, I put it on Twitter, and the immediate response I got is, well, they play the Jets tomorrow, and Flower's going to start that game, so you don't want to play Flower today. And I said, I don't care. You need all the points, and this is a conference game that you can possibly get. So, like, if I ride Flower into the ground, I just do. Like, I'm going to go out throwing my best punch. And Gustafsson, when he has these type of games age, doesn't really bounce back. And I mean, both goaltenders, I think their save percentages between the starters, Casey DeSmith and Gustafsson, I think their save percentages were both in the 60s. DeSmith gave up 8 goals on 25 shots against him. Gustafsson, 5 goals on 16 shots. So, yes, it was fun from a fan standpoint. Go to it. Score a ton of goals. But I'm sorry. I can't look at that goaltending performance from the guy who's supposed to be your top goaltender and, you know, coming off that Phoenix game right here as well. Now, he was just been hurt then, but this to me spiraled really badly. And let's just say you are not going to get multiple 5-on-3s to solve that in the playoffs.
No, not at all. What I will say, and I will give them credit for, because this is something I think has lacked a bulk of the year, they get handed these opportunities to will themselves back into the game. And typically, I have no faith in them. Typically, it's just a 5-on-3 where, you know, we're going to generate a chance or two. Maybe we'll get a few shots. A 5-on-4 normal man advantage where really nothing happens. It's just lackluster. Maybe you take a shot, it ricochets out of the zone, and all we're going to take the final 40 seconds to even try to enter and set up the perimeter. They actually converted. Like that's the thing here today. They got these chances and they converted. They found the back of the net, and not every goal was pretty. You know, the Rossi goal off his skate. Sure. If you want to tell me that he, you know, knew what he was doing and boxed out and angled his skate to deflect it, you know, for sure, I'll take that. The Kaprizov goal, obviously backdoor one timer. That's what I expected him. But look at, I want to say even back in the second period, the Zuccarello goal, where, and this is not to do with the wild third period, but he just kind of threw one a lazy cross crease pass. And it hit off of skate, and then it snuck under the pad somehow of DeSmith. Up until the third period, that is what I expected. It was a power play goal, but it was sheer dumb luck. That is what the Wild have been doing, and that's when they've been scoring. They had a purpose. They were driving to the net. They were forcing the puck to the middle a lot more often than what we've seen. Maybe it helped that they had a full 15-minute intermission to draw something up and talk about it in the locker room. But they came out and they actually had a plan. They actually had a purpose on the power play. They knew they could get the Canucks on their heels. And as soon as they got one, as soon as they got two, it was like they'd go back to center ice. They'd say, let's go ahead and do it again. Win the faceoff, end of the zone. And, you know, the crowd, as soon as they would cross that blue line, again, it was miracle. It was Herb Brooks. Again, you know, just keep going, keep firing on net. And that was the thing. They actually converted on these opportunities, which I feel like they just haven't done. So how much different this season would be if they took these chances where they are handed a silver platter to bring themselves back into a game, or in other cases, like break away and put their throat on the opposition, not cough up the last, you know, 5 minutes of the third period, actually be able to close out games. How much different this season would be crazy if they do this more. 2 points out of a playoff spot now, I'm not going to say I'm back in on this team, because I'm not. But what I will say is that is a big improvement, is that they, when it mattered, they showed up.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, no, they definitely came back. And you had a feeling when the third period, when the first goal was scored, that was going to shift things. I think the goaltending change just helped. And I know Flower gave up 2 goals, but I think it just helped for confidence, because I think that there was a zero confidence that Gus was going to stop the puck there, which was rightfully so. Fleury came in, made some saves, also gave up 2 goals. Again, the goaltending was certainly bad today. I found it to be a positive with this stat. Although he was a -2, take that for what it's worth, though. Mm. Zuccarello, the goal that you pointed out, 3 assists, 4 points. And, you know, I'll go back to, you're not going to get this many 5-on-3s probably again.
And that was clearly a turning point. I think they scored two goals, at least two goals, if not three, off those situations. But Zuccarello, 4 points. Ek, 6 points. Kirill Kaprizov, 6 points. And here's the funny thing. If Eriksson Ek had, I think, at least three chances in the first period around the slot where he easily could have scored goals and completely missed the net, he could have been sitting on a 5-goal day easily. So those are the positives. Here's what we got to bring up, though. Depth scoring. So you scored 10 goals, okay? So you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, the scoring's all over the place. There's, right? Two guys scored 6 goals. Boldy, who's on the top line, and no one is debating of late, has been very good, scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Rossi kicked in a puck, or it went off his skate. Eriksson Ek, by the way, I think his first goal, same exact way. No distinct kicking motion. Brodin, empty netter, that was the length of the ice. Zuccarello. So let's go now to some of the other lines. Let's go to the second line, because those guys certainly contributed, right? Marcus Johansson, -2, 0 points. Freddie Goudreau, -1, 0 points. Besides Brodin's goal, and this is just weird. So Brock Faber played 25:09 in a 10-goal game. He did not have 1 point. Jake Middleton played 17:57, no points. The only point for a long time, I think until the Brodin goal from your blue line, was John Merrill's assist. So I just to be very clear here, I am not concerned at all about Brock or Jake. I just think that that's weird that they didn't get on the score sheet. I don't like the fact, though, that you, again, got no production from Johansson. I don't like the fact that you got no production from Goudreau. Hartman had an assist, was a +1, so he gave you a little something. But it's not one of those, like, you look at the score sheet, like, everyone contributed. It is very, very condensed as far as who contributed. And that first line did a lot. But you would certainly love to see, and I'll just start with this. In a 10-goal game, you would certainly love to see Johansson give you more than a big fat 0 and a -2.
Yes, and the other name that you mentioned while reading off that was Freddie Goudreau, who the most notable play that sticks out in that 60 minutes of hockey from him was late in the third period, the power play goal by Brock Besser. I forget who it was that heads to the box, but immediately off the faceoff, Middleton, Brock Faber stick break? Breaks?
Middleton.
Middleton, thank you. Yeah, Middleton, yes. It was the tripping yep. against Besser. So he trips Besser, goes to the box, ensuing faceoff. Faber's stick breaks like immediately, not sure if it got slashed or it was like a quick play to the net. I forget exactly how it happened. Breaks almost immediately. And then just instead of playing the position and waiting for an opportunity, Freddie Goudreau goes out of his way to stay low in the slot and like force, hey, take my stick, take my stick. I don't need it. Because what I should be doing is covering the point where Brock Besser is, you know, who's having a fantastic season with the Canucks. Why would I want to cover him and put any pressure on him when I could just let him walk to the top of the slot right. and shoot the puck? Takes himself out of position and then tries to save face by sprinting up there. Doesn't do it. Boom. And granted, it wasn't really super in reach there, but it's that, like, that's the play that sticks out in a game where you had 10 goals scored for your team.
Yep.
You are held pointless, and that's what sticks out. You cost them a power play goal. You on the penalty kill, you just blatantly disregard your job. And this is exactly what Wild Crazy says here on the screen. They don't have the depth to go deep in the playoffs right now. And this is not news. Well, you know, this is not anything new. This should not be a surprise to anybody. But for a guy that we've seen it in the past at times, like being a decent role player who should, and especially, you know, the wealth should be shared on a day like this. Casey DeSmith let up 8 goals. The Canucks did him no favors in front. The coaching staff did him no favors. Thatcher Demko must have been on the bench saying, no, not even close.
He plays tomorrow too. See, they're just like the Jets. I think they've got the Avs. I kept as the lead disintegrated for the Canucks. I kept looking at the bench at Tak, I think Tak in a sick way enjoyed it. because this is a great cautionary tale. And just to be very clear, the Canucks never played well today. The Canucks in the like I never watched that and said, now do I think they're talented? Absolutely. But I never watched that game and said they are kicking the Wild's asses. In my opinion, Gus was allowing bad goals. The Wild, you know, the first period, how many grade A's were wide of the net, age?
Yeah.
Like the grade A's going wide of the net was unbelievable. So like I never looked at that game. In fact, I thought the first period was a coach's dream if you're talking, because you led, your team didn't play well, and I thought that they would get a kick in the ass. And of course they did. They came out in the second period. And actually that one goal that they scored, the puck possession in the Wild zone was stupid. It was stupid, ridiculous. But yeah, this was a fun game to watch as a fan. I don't take anything from this game as far as sustainable acts. Like the Wild's first line is playing well. We know that. But I would be much more concerned about seven goals against, about Gus, mm-hmm. about the fact that the weird thing about Gus is this. I've got a theory on Gus. I'm curious if you agree with it or not. Here's my theory. I don't think you want to shoot on Gus close in. I think the more you lob the puck at the net, the more the bus struggles on it. That Ian Cole goal, the first goal of the game. Yeah. Now that's Ian Cole. You remember him. He played here. Mm-hmm. He ain't Bobby Orr. And like Gus is struggling, and I know he's screened, but I mean, come on, you're screened. It's the NHL. You're goaltender. You're going to be screened. I actually think if I was to face the Wild in the playoffs, if they make it, and we'll talk about that in a second, because it's a big if. But if I was to face the Wild in the playoffs, my scouting report on Gus, get traffic in front of him and essentially lob the puck on net, because he struggles way more with that. I feel he's most effective on what are probably show up on the shot chart as grade A's, but he seems to have much more of a control of that. It's when the puck is coming from angles that Gus sort of, how can I put this nicely? He sort of Dubniks at times.
I love that term.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. That's the thing about that too is he, the Canucks had what? They scored on their first two, like technically their two shots.
They did. Yeah. It took them forever to get a shot that didn't go in. They didn't play a good first period at all.
No, they didn't. But that's where your point comes in. If they had a handful of shots on, like they obviously had the quality over quantity, maybe mindset, even though their quality shots weren't all that quality. They were just kind of on net. If they would have forced the puck on net a little more often, who knows how many of those could have gone in. If they have a normal first period, you average your normal like 10-ish shots a period, it might have been a bigger deficit at the end of the first. The past, two outings, I think, for Gus, maybe three, you could argue, have not been that great. And it's kind of concerning me because it goes with the trend of the season, it feels like, where like they're out of a playoff spot right now. We know that. And it's still an uphill battle for them, given where they're at and kind of everything else. We see the depth that they have today, despite scoring 10 goals. They're fighting an uphill battle here. If you do end up deciding, you know what, we just can't do it, we're going to sell Gustafson, who I thought was playing decent hockey for, you know, maybe a 2-week stretch or at least the first few looks after the All-Star game.
Yep.
Now things just turn south, and now if any value that's there, people are going to say, well, what's going on? Why? What do you mean you want a first round pick for that?
Yeah.
I've seen his last three starts. I've seen his last four starts. He couldn't stop a beach ball right now. Like that's the parts that's concerning, is why is all of a sudden this happening? Why is he now having such a hard time tracking the puck? Is that screen door out front that big of an obstacle for him visually to be able to track that shot from the blue line? He's lucky he didn't get a loss on his record today. That's
oh, God, yeah.
That's incredible. I almost feel like they should still throw one on there. He in no way deserves to escape today with nothing added to his win loss on the season. That is incredible. Yes. That he gets to just move on like almost nothing happened.
And Tim just commented, I say Fleury gets the nod from here on out. That's the problem, Tim. You can't do that. And I don't disagree with you. I agree with your point fundamentally, Tim. But the problem with this is you can't do that because you'll you know, you'll wear flour down to a nub, and he's what, almost 40 years old. That's the thing about this to the comment that you brought up earlier on the show, Age. There's no depth here. That's the problem. There's no depth here. You don't have enough depth to do this. And so, but what's weird is if you look at the playoff picture right now, it's a unholy mess. Okay. So the top three teams in the Central: Dallas, 76 points, Colorado, 72 points, the Jets, who I believe lost today to the Flames, 71 points, and they play host to the Wild tomorrow at home. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacific Division: Vancouver, a league best, 80 points still. Golden Knights, 70 points in second place. Edmonton, 67. Now let's get to the wild card. And this is where it's an unholy mess. And this is why it's going to be difficult. And this is why you can't have a slump. And this is why you can't have bad goaltending. The LA Kings have been hot of late. They're now 5-3-2 in their last 10, and they've won three consecutive. They're at 64 points. St. Louis lost for the second time in a week to Toronto today. They're at 60 points. Nashville has 58 points. 55 games, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings have two games in hand, 53 games, okay? St. Louis, 55 games. Nashville, 55 games. Minnesota, 55 games. The Kraken, who lost today in overtime or a shootout to Detroit, so they got a point, 55 games. Calgary, 56 games. That's the Coyotes now in 55 games are at 50 points, so I'm going to eliminate them because they're really falling off.
Yeah.
But that wild card race, LA has 64 points. They've got a playoff spot. They've got wild card one. So right now you're chasing wild card two, which is 60 points. Nashville, 58 points. Minnesota, 58 points. Seattle, 57 points. Calgary, which, by the way, before you say, how can you talk about the Wild bailing when they're in it? Calgary very much is bailing, but they have 57 points. So this is an unholy mess, as I said, with about 25 games left. And good luck making sense of this entire thing. It's going to be fun as a fan, but I have no idea where this is going. And as I've said, and I'm seeing in the comments, it ain't like this was a good homestand. Buffalo, you blew it. You should have had two. You got one. And today was great fun to watch, but it's a model for nothing. So this is, I don't know what to tell you here. And you can mark my words, Bill Guerin ain't going to dump with what's currently going on, but it's instructive that Calgary's like, we're probably good. We're going to bail, because everybody realizes if you get wild card two, which is seed eight, and you play the Canucks, you're going to get Thatcher Demko, and you're going to get a Vancouver team that has a system for you. And if you're the Wild, let me just say this. It's not going to be 10-7 at the end of the game. Got all that?
I cannot wait for the trade deadline to come soon enough, because then I don't have to have nightmares of, I don't think I told you this. This would not happen, but I woke up in a cold sweat the other night, a cold sweat, because I saw in my nightmare, Liam Ogren in a third round pick to the Islanders for Noah Dobson, which doesn't make sense. And there's no cap there, but that was enough to make me wake up.
I'm scared
that Bill Guerin's going to, you know, go Wild Bill on it, Wild West on it, and just try to wheel and deal and do something.
He can't take too much cap space though. Right. Like there's constraints on the cap.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like, there's in the back of my mind, I'm like, he wants to kind of go for it. Craig Leopold wants to go for it.
Well, you'll get first round playoff games, and Craig likes those because they get a gate. Like you sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, far be it from me to think that you're going to, as wildcard two, beat the Canucks. I don't care what's taking place with Casey the Smith and goal. And the other problem is this. Like today, is the Wild going to come out against the Jets, who by the way are a very good defensive team, and just lost a game today? Are they going to come out great guns tomorrow, or are they going to be absolutely gassed? Post game today, Ryan Hartman was asked about games like this, and I think his comment was pretty succinct. It's stressful, and it is stressful. So you came all the way back. You got bad goaltending. You overcame all of that. Now you got to get on a plane. And I'm not saying it's tough to, you know, flying from here to Winnipeg's not exactly far. And it's first class for all the seats. But nonetheless, what are you going to come out like tomorrow? And if you fight this fight and make it through the jumble I just talked about, and you're the eighth seed, you're the second wild card. How much is left to give? And by the way, is your goaltending then solid? Like, there's just so many questions about this thing. You know, it's one thing, Age, if you beat Buffalo and got 2 points and you impressed against the Canucks and you're like, okay, this might be something. But man, what's being asked here of this team potentially, I don't think they have the depth. I don't think they have the manpower to deliver it. I'm sorry, Marcus Johansson. I don't think a switch is going to be flipped. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my feeling.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, we've been saying this what feels like for months now. John Hines let the team know, thankfully, that, you know, hey, prepared to be tired, prepared to try hard here for the handful.
Yeah, he had
of
to
games.
Tell them you gotta be exhausted at the end of every game.
Remember, gentlemen, you have to try in these games.
Thanks.
Thank you for that one, John.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With how many games they have left here, it's just going to be so taxing. They're going to be so taxing. If you slump in, and you're exactly right, you're going to have, let's just say you face a Canucks team, and a Canucks team that's hungry to make a deep run, a fan base that's craving something like that, but a team that also, they're not sweating. Like, this is a bad loss for them, and they know that. That's not a killer for them. Like, they're going to be able to rebound because they're good enough to go out and win a couple more games. And they're going to shake this off in no time, but they're also going to, based on like the culture, and that goes to the culture that Bill Guerin has tried to like create here. They're going to go back and plan and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we got our ass kicked in the third period, but that's not happening again. If we see these guys in the first round, we're going to do that to them for 4 straight games and send them home. You know, it's,
yeah.
And based on what we've seen between the Wild and the Jets here as of late, who knows how healthy this roster looks after tomorrow night, because that always seems to be insanely chippy. And given the history here, it just, you know, why would I expect we're going to come out totally unscathed and nobody's going to be a casualty there? So doing this type of style of game, having to rely on a 7-goal third period or insane goaltending one night from a 38, 39 year old future Hall of Famer, or God forbid, relying on a depth guy to show up and do whatever, or relying on Matt Boldy to keep this form that he's found now since the Chicago game and keep that up the rest of the way. You can't go out there and ask for Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, Joel Eriksson-Ek to, you know, score 4, 5, 6 points a night and will this team to a victory. All while, frankly, John Merrill's on the ice, while Alex Gall got, you know, whoever.
Merrill was like Bobby Orr today. He tried to pinch the puck in from the point. Unbelievable.
Zach Bogosian, you know, ducking in on the
offensive. Nobody misses the net more.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable. That, you know what? I love him because he's like a basketball ball hog. He's always going to shoot, and he's rarely going to score. Last thing. The Wild now has 3 games left this week, or 5. Their next 6 games go like this, okay? At the Jets tomorrow, off 2 days. At Edmonton on Friday night. At Seattle, which again is in the playoff hunt with you, on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Couple days off. You get Carolina here on Tuesday. Then you go to Nashville on the 29th. You go to St. Louis on March 2nd. And after that, you've got two games before the trade deadline. And actually, the day of the deadline, you're in Colorado for an 8 o'clock Central start. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of your next six games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are on the road. So that should tell your story. But man, you've left yourself a very tough road there.
Yeah. And like Winnipeg,
they shouldn't win. So who knows?
Yeah. And that's true. You know, you at this point, you just don't know with this team because one day,
which drives me crazy.
And not one day, because frankly, I haven't seen them do a full 60 minutes, but they, you know, decide to play their world beaters for 20 minutes. And then the next 40 minutes, they just want to take the night off. And hey, you know, we've had a really good first period. Let's back it in, you know, just give us the 2 points. Winnipeg, I mean, they're tough. Edmonton, since that awful start to the year, I mean, they've turned it around and they've looked fantastic. I mean,
Chris Knobloch hasn't played fantastic hockey, and McDavid now is right back in the heart race.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Seattle, like you said, is battling. I mean, every game up until, and not every game, I should say, because you have Arizona the day before the deadline and San Jose earlier in the week. But even on the day of, that deadline's going to be at like what? It's usually 3 or 4 o'clock here, I want to say.
I think it's might be 2 Central, 2 or 3 Central.
I'm expecting, and this is not like an official prediction, but I'm expecting you're going to have more departures than incomings by 8 p.m. on that Friday, the 8th against Colorado.
It's going to be intriguing though, if they keep pushing, because then the question is, does Bill Guerin try and make trades for current help, which I wouldn't put past him. I wouldn't do it personally, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. Right. It really comes down to like the next week and a half, 2 weeks. It's just, they're sitting on the fence. One day I think they're going to be, I mean, we did a show about it. I'm getting ready one day to look at top five picks in the draft. Who are the top prospects? Who could they go after? I'm thinking, okay, now you're going to be sneaking right into the first round of the playoffs. We're going to have to go out for a gritty battle, you know, bloody knuckles, and have to scrape out some wins. Who knows who's going to show up? I just want this team to like pick an identity. Are you a playoff team?
We're right back to where we were.
You bad?
2011 might as well be here still. It's like nothing has changed. Everyone, they purged the locker room and they basically got the same team. It's unbelievable. All right, we are done here again. It was a fun game to watch, and there were some great talkers. But as far as like what I took from it, I think I took this team is absolutely maddening, and that's about it. Age, we'll talk to you soon. See everybody.